the power of imagination to solve our problems, to create a better world. Imagining the Future with Doug Foresta. Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Doug Foresta, indeed. And very, very grateful to the Empower Radio family for allowing me to do this show, and grateful to all of you for listening. And I'm really happy to have back with me one of my favorite people, Jeff Rock, a Chief Insight Officer of Swift River Coaching. And I definitely encourage you to check out his website, which is www.swiftrivercoaching.com. And we're going to be continuing the conversation. Jeff was my first guest on the show, and we talked about reinventing yourself. And today we're going to talk about personal branding, and we'll probably talk about a lot of other things, but we'll start there. So, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome, Doug. It's really great to be here. I always enjoy our conversations.
Same here. I definitely, the feeling is mutual. I thought we could start with just talking about this, you know, about personal branding, because we, you know, last time we talked more about reinvention and we talked about energy levels, but right. You know, one of the things that actually that you do as well is personal branding, and I thought maybe we could talk about what personal branding is, and sort of, and if people are wondering, what does this have to do with imagining the future? It'll all come together, I promise you.
Yeah, and it does. So I appreciate the opportunity to discuss it, because, you know, one of the things I find when I'm out talking with people is that they really have a different perception of what personal branding is. And that's understandable, because there are a lot of people out there talking about it as in, well, it's just social media, or it's putting on a face, or laying this veneer on top of who you actually are. When really nothing could be further from the truth. You know, personal branding, as I practice it and as it's practiced through Reach, is based in authenticity. And when I do my workshops with people where I combine a number of different things, one of the exercises around that is going out and working on, you know, what are your core values? What are your core passions? What's your purpose in life? And that's really the foundation of personal branding.
Could you say a little bit more? You mentioned Reach. I'm wondering if you can just explain that for people that might not be familiar with Reach.
Sure. Reach was founded by William Aruda. He was the first one really in to create a personal branding consulting company. They just celebrated their 10th anniversary this year. And he was the one that got me involved in personal branding when I went to see him at a coaching conference. And he started talking about, you know, unearthing your unique value and building your brand around, you know, who you are and what you do and how you do it. So I joined Reach as a certified personal branding strategist. I'm not part of their organization, but I was certified through them. And they taught me what I know about personal branding. And had it been just something like, okay, lay the veneer on top, I would not have been even a little bit interested. But it really fits in with coaching and with everything else that I do.
And I think the word brand has really gotten there's so many connotations with the word brand that I think people really do. You know, I think about it when it comes from, like, when I think of branding, I think of, you know, what they used to do to the cattle.
Right.
Something external, as opposed to branding as being something that comes, it's an expression of what's already inside.
Exactly. And I think if you went back far enough in history, probably the cattle brand and the word brand originated in the same place. But really, when you think about brand, think about in terms of identity. So, you know, as we move in the world of work and society in general away from this sense of conformity where everybody has to think the same and do things in the same way, moving into a place of diversity at the level of the individual, that's where branding comes in. That's why each and every person has a personal brand, is because each and every person is a unique individual and is diverse in their own particular way.
as you say that, I think about sort of this idea too about how we imagine, how we used to imagine work and how we used to imagine job security or security, which was you got a good job, which was working for someone else.
Right.
You did job function.
Right.
And that was it. And you just, you know, you were the good soldier until it was time to retire and you got the gold watch and the slap on the back and you were done. And that just isn't happening anymore.
No, absolutely not. You know, the rules changed. And unfortunately for a lot of people, they changed while everyone was busy working.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, they pick their head up and look around and the whole world has changed and the structure has changed and what's expected of you has changed. So it can be a scary and confusing time. But I think the good news is, and there is a lot of good news in this, is that we are moving towards a place where uniqueness and creativity and imagination and all the things that make us truly human are starting to become valued. They want, you know, the employers are starting to want people that are, you know, bringing their best to the table and their ideas and also the ability to collaborate with others to create new things.
So what are some of the reasons that people would come to you and want to do branding? I mean, what are some of the reasons that people are interested in branding?
Oftentimes it's because they recognize that things have changed. And they're starting to feel somewhat out of sync with the culture of their company. Or they have left the company that they're with, and they don't really know so much how to discuss what their value proposition is or who they are. A lot of the governmental agencies that provide help to people who are unemployed, and I know they're all trying to do a really good job, but what I see coming out of those is a traditional resume. I worked from here to here, this day to this day, and this is what I did. And it doesn't really communicate the true value of the individual. What did I do? What were my actual accomplishments? What value did I bring to the table? And often people, especially older employees, you know, you're competing with a lot of different people going into a company, and someone in the HR department is going to pick up a resume, and the first thing that hits them is they've got a lot of really old dates on there, so that there is a bit of a mindset about that individual before they actually get down to see what value they can add. So I work with people to create a resume that is branded so that by the time anyone ever figures out how long you've been in the workforce, they're first seeing the value, your creativity, your contributions, the experience, and all the really positive things that you bring to the table so that you're appealing as a candidate before they get to the point where they can determine that maybe they are looking for someone younger.
You know, as you talk about this, I think about, you know, branding is sort of a new idea that's also very old. You know, I think about Socrates talked about how, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. And really, when I think about it, it's sort of, it seems like, you know, what you're doing with people is sort of getting them to think about some of the most fundamental questions that we can ask ourselves as human beings. You know, what is my purpose? What are my gifts? What are my values? And I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the process, a little more about the process of what you do with people, what they come away with at the end of like personal branding sessions.
Sure. Yeah. So it starts with a real foundational thing about getting down to the values and the passions. And, you know, when I ask people, do you know what your values are? They say, sure, I know what my values are. And then I ask them if they can name their top five values. Well, you know, most people can't, because we don't sit around thinking about them. And yet, what is a more important driver in our decisions, particularly around employment? You know, if I've got a values clash with a particular company, how am I going to be successful there? I'm not. So I want to get people to a place where they're going, they're pursuing the opportunities where they're going to excel because it's a really good fit. One of the other aspects of personal branding is your passions. So everyone has certain things that they just, they're born to do, they love to do, they'll get up at the crack of dawn to do on their day off. There are ways to take some of those passions in many cases and incorporate it into your job search or your particular profession. But if you're going to be looking for something anyway, why not incorporate that into what you do? Because that's going to increase your performance and your job satisfaction as well. And then also connecting with what's your purpose in life. You know, why are you here? You know, being born is such a privilege because the odds against you actually ever coming into existence are staggering. So you've been given the gift of life. What do you want to do with it? And wouldn't it be great if you can understand and connect your purpose, use that as a driver for your decisions, and use it in your employment search or to make yourself more valuable to your employer? Because that's going to come across when you're bringing your best to the table every day, because where you are aligns with your values and your passion and your life's purpose, you're going to be unstoppable and you're going to enjoy being there every day.
You know, I think about, as you say that, I think about Warren Bennis, the leadership guru, who talks about this sense of, you know, he says, there are always people telling us who we are and who we should be. He said, but people become leaders at the moment when they decide for themselves who they're going to be. And it sounds like really that's sort of what you're helping people do, is to really figure out who they are and who they want to be in the world.
Yeah, that's the case, because being who you are and doing what you are is a really powerful combination. And, you know, I know that there was a time, and it probably really started with the Industrial Revolution, where we just needed people to pump out widgets. But that time is gone. It's really long gone. And it's really actually not an awful lot of fun, I would think, to be pumping out the same widgets every day. So you're definitely in a position where when you know who you are and you can express that, that's certainly the beginning of a strong leader.
And I agree with you. I mean, this is the piece that goes to imagination. Is it's funny because, I mean, I definitely want to do a whole piece about education, imagining the future of education, because we're just not taught the messages that we're getting, not just education formally in school, but education in terms of just as we come along, even in college or post that the industrial age is right. It's over. I mean, we can get a robot to do, the work that used to take, 60 people. One robotic arm can do it now. So we don't need a lot of manpower. What we do. So what's left? I mean, what's left is we need people's creativity. We need their imagination. We need their souls, for lack of a better term.
Right. And that's really, I find that's what really energizes people, which kind of loops us back to the whole energy thing that I do is getting people, higher in their energetic level by getting into that creative space and tapping into that. But absolutely, being in that space is really getting at what makes you who you are, and giving you a way to, fully express your humanity, and also to increase your connections with other people, because none of us operate in a vacuum. And speaking for myself, the very best ideas I come up with are pale in comparison to the outcome after I start talking with someone about it. I mean, we've had conversations where we start with something and you and I go back and forth, and after a very short time, what comes out of it is much more powerful than what I started with or what you started with.
I totally agree with you. I appreciate you bringing that up, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, that this idea of social constructionism, that basically it's not that, you know, we having conversations that open possibility creates new possibilities that didn't exist before. And it's in relationship. It's not, like you said, it's not operating in a vacuum.
Right. And so, you know, I think one of the powerful things is when someone can recognize, you know, what's within their discipline and what's not, and where some of the borders are, where it touches other things, and then connect with that person and see where the overlap is and what you can create in that space. And to me, it's exciting because there's no limit as to what you can do and come up with.
So one of the things also that I, speaking about creating and all of that, I wanted you to have a chance also to talk about, you were recently invited to do a very interesting blog, and I was wondering if you could say a little bit about that.
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, one of my colleagues in Reach, his name is Peter Sterlacci. He's the only certified personal branding strategist in Japan. And he invited me to be a part of what he's calling the 30 by 30 by 30 blogathon. So he invited 30 thought leaders from around the world to write blogs. The only connection, commonality was there had to be some connection to personal branding. And he didn't tell any of us what the others were going to write, and he did not give out a topic. I asked him, and he said, no, write whatever you like. I said, okay. So we are in day four now, and it's been really interesting to me because one of the themes that has been present in all of them is about finding one's own purpose and passion and following that. And the one that's out for today actually was from Dr. Amit Nagpal, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, so if you hear this, Doctor, I apologize if I butchered your name, but he wrote a piece on spirituality and branding, and it just fascinated me. He came up with seven different connections, but it really starts talking about connecting with the inner self as part of our understanding our life's purpose and what we truly want out of life, which is a tie into how I start with branding. And you know, going through that exercise is also something that helps you to become more spiritual and create and connect with other people in the world. And it also tends to promote collaboration, which really breeds trust. It's a great article.
Yeah, I mean, it really just, I think what we're talking about here and what you're doing, I mean, I really think about sort of, we talked last time a bit about reinventing oneself, but really this is also about it's reinventing the world of work and reinventing what work means. And it's pretty clear that, you know, the old structures are falling apart pretty quickly.
Yes. They are falling apart very quickly. And some of the people that are in it are kind of falling down with it.
Yes,
and those are some of the folks that I'm really trying to help, because as I found for myself, while those structures are falling, the foundation is being laid for so many other opportunities. And while many people, you know, bemoan the internet and Facebook and constantly being connected with your smartphone, by the same token, the ability to speak with and communicate with and connect with other people also creates a lot of opportunities. And my experience so far from meeting people and communicating with them and connecting with them through Twitter and other means is that, you know, I'm finding that people are really in a place of cooperation and help and you know, imagination and creation and making new things and helping other people. It's that giving economy that some people talk about, and I'm seeing a lot of it. It's very different in terms of culture from those structures that are now collapsing.
you know, it's funny, again, I think about sort of the, you know, the new being old. And so the, you know, I think about the, you know, the Oracle of Delphi, you know, two things come to me. One is, you know, that some of this is ancient, it's ancient wisdom combined with new technology, because, yeah, you know, the Oracle of Delphi said, you know thyself. And then, you know, Shakespeare talks about, you know, this above all, to thine own self be true. It's sort of like we're taking this ancient wisdom and reapplying it to the modern day, you know, to our modern day world.
Yeah. Well, it's ancient wisdom for a reason. You know, right. When we got away from it, I think it did not serve us well. And
yeah,
I think
going
back to it is probably, for me at least, it's been a really good idea.
And so I want to sort of make this a little less esoteric for people too, in terms of, so for example, you know, people who, let's say, may have left their jobs and now they're going, oh my God, what am I going to do? Certainly could use personal branding. But even, I'm imagining that there are people even who are within jobs or within organizations or within places, but I'm wondering if people come to you, even if, you know, even before maybe they're in a place that they feel like that maybe they see the handwriting on the wall in their industry, or they just want to try to figure out something else that they might want to do.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And I'm working with some people like that now. They're still employed. They like what they're doing. They're successful, but things are shifting and they want to, basically brand themselves and determine how they can best align, you know, communicate their personal brand and determine how to align it with the corporate brand where they are, if in fact it does align. And more often than not, it does. But corporations are starting to be more focused on their brands as well. So what I do in a lot of cases is help people establish ways of communicating with them and communicating their personal brand, but also communicating the value that they are adding to the organization. I have had a couple of clients, more than a couple actually, recently, when we get down to talking about how they communicate accomplishments, and what I've heard is, well, my work will stand for itself. But it just doesn't anymore. I don't know if it ever really did. And I made that mistake myself at one point in my career. And what, you know, people are just way too busy to spend their time trying to figure out what everyone else is doing. So you have to find a way to communicate that. Make sure that you know everyone in your brand community that you need to communicate with and have a plan for that person.
Yeah, I think that's really true, because, you know, it's interesting. I think about, for example, there are companies that are going out of business because even their brand is not worth anything. Like Blockbuster is a good example, where they just didn't stay on top of technology and they're becoming obsolete. Yep. But even if they were to sell off their brand, no one even wants the Blockbuster brand, it turns out,
right,
because it doesn't, it's synonymous with VHS tapes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't
tough break for them.
right. Exactly. And they sort of sat on that. But what I see you doing, what it sounds like, is you're able to take what's authentic, what people's strengths are, and then be able to communicate those and match those up with the world in a way that results in, you know, bringing in money, bringing in income, and having a livelihood and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we talk about branding, when we're discussing companies, we'll use Starbucks as an example. You know, coffee beans around the world generally considered a commodity, but Starbucks has found a way to really add value to coffee beans, and people will pay a lot more for Starbucks coffee, a lot more for Starbucks coffee than they would if they were to go get a cup of coffee around the corner at a diner.
Right.
Because they've clearly been able to articulate a value in the minds of their customers. So likewise with individuals, if you if you're doing a great job and really connecting and making things happen, but nobody knows about it, it's not serving you well. So it's a matter of putting a strategy together to make sure that the people who need to know about you do.
And what I think, too, is great is that you can combine that with the energy work that you do, because, you know, if I'm sharing with somebody who I am, but I'm doing it out of level one, you know, victim energy,
right,
it's not going to come across very well. And I'm going to go, that Jeff doesn't know what he's doing. I tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah. And so sometimes people are in a position where, you know, they may be not perceived as valuable as they were before, and maybe you get a bad performance appraisal. It's when you're then sitting in victim mode as a result of it, it's really hard to create, communicate, and express a personal brand. You have to move beyond that and get to a higher level and get your confidence back and find a way to, again, bring your best to the table, which if you're kind of knocked down and stuck in victim land and conflict mode, you're probably not going to be all that successful.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think that's really something that's unique about you, Jeff, is that something that you really, I think having that combination is a great combination.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's worked well so far. You know, if you haven't got the inner game together, the outer game isn't going to work very well. So, you know, I think back to the days when Andre Agassi used to be at the top of his game, and
yes,
I think he was number one seed, and then he kind of slipped down. And if you looked at films of him at the time, he carried himself very differently afterwards, and he got himself a coach, and the coach said, you know, what are you thinking when you walk out there? And then in the ones where he was losing, he was like, oh, I don't know, this guy's really good, I'm not sure I can beat him, and that kind of a thing. And so after working with a coach, you know, he showed him some of his old films when he used to win, and he said, well, what were you thinking then? He was thinking, well, he said, well, I'm thinking, why is this guy even showing up, bothering to show up today? You know, this is my game. I'm gonna win this one. And so if you go into it with the mindset that you're already defeated, it's not the place of strength that I want my clients to be.
No, not at all. So with that, believe it or not, the time goes so fast. We're just about to, ready to wrap up. I just want to make sure that, first of all, thank you again for coming on, and also to say that when people want to reach you, they can visit SwiftRiverCoaching.com, correct?
Correct.
And if you want to give any other contact information, feel free.
Sure, I can also be reached on my cell phone in the U.S., 413-668-8433. And if you're interested in following the blogathon, you can just do a search on Peter Sterlacci, Sterlacci, and I'm sure you'll find it. There's some great, great posts out there, and there's many, many more coming.
Great. Jeff Rock, thank you so much. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I look forward to continuing the conversation in the future.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Take care.
Bye now.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Doug Foresta at Imagining the Future. We'll be back with some other great guests. Thanks so much. Thanks to everyone at The Power. And we'll be back soon. Take care.